Good evening. We're ready to start our Sunday evening worship service. We're so glad that you have come out to join us in worship as we take some more time this day to give glory and praise to our Father in heaven. We're going to begin our worship this evening in my song. If you'd like to, let's stand and sing number 718, We Shall Assemble Together.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the
seated. Our next two songs are not in the book, but I think we've sang them a few times, at least enough to learn them, and if not, they're pretty easy to pick up. The first song is A Shield About Me.
Thou, O Lord, art a shield.
Yeah.
God in prayer, we'll sing, Surround Us, Lord. Again, this one's not in the book, but I think it's one we know. And if it's not, it's very easy to pick up.
As the mountains surround
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this wonderful day you've given us and for the lovely weather that we have to enjoy. But particularly, Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity to come here and worship thee and sing praises to thee and hear the word proclaimed. We pray, Heavenly Father, you be with those that are sick, the physical illnesses that they're unable to be here because of that, and pray that you will be with those who have had through procedures or surgeries or recovering from illnesses, that they will have the health that they desire, if it be your will, so they can return to us. And be with those, Heavenly Father, that are having other struggles in their life, that may be going on, deaths in the family, or other incidents that they're having difficulties with, and comfort them. Also, Heavenly Father, be with those who have chose to neglect the assembly tonight for other earthly concerns, and pray that you be with them, and help them understand that their presence is uplifting to all those that are here, and their voices blend with ours when we sing praises to them. Continue to be with us, Heavenly Father, through the remainder of the service. We pray that you be with the speaker and that he has a ready recollection of the things he wants to proclaim. And more importantly, we listen attentively and we take those things into our lives and throughout the world. Be with us, Heavenly Father. Pray that everything that is said and done this evening is according to thy will. And it's Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If you are using the book and you'd like to mark, the song of invitation will be 911, Bring Christ Your Broken Life, and we'll sing that as after Josh's lesson, as encouragement to anyone who needs to respond to the invitation. Before we have our scripture reading and Josh brings us our lesson this evening, we'll sing 180, Jesus is Lord. And let's stand again and sing if it's convenient.
Jesus is
this evening's scripture reading comes from John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That's John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
Good evening. So glad to see so many of you out again this evening. It was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day yesterday. It was a beautiful day. It was kind of weird. We went from snow and sleet to shorts and a t-shirt in the course of 48 hours, but I really appreciate all of you who chose to be with us here this evening and worship with the saints that meet here at Central. Tonight, I wanted to focus on my lesson as I was thinking about what I was preparing. I'd seen something on Facebook, so this is kind of ripped from the headlines as far as social media is concerned. But I wanted to focus on a few things that Jesus did not say, and then we'll contrast with some things that Jesus said. Can you guys hear me okay? We sat back there. I'm hearing myself a little bit better now. I think they turned me up. I'm probably not being loud enough. All right, Caleb, good job. So there are some phrases that we kick around in philosophies that you hear on television, and you hear on radio, and you see in movies, and you read in books, and those philosophies kind of sound good on the surface. They sound kind of good on the surface of things, but when you think about them a little bit deeper, they're a little ambiguous. You're like, okay, this can go the good way, or this can go the evil way. They sound wise, but you usually still have two different directions that you're torn between that you can actually go to. And the first phrase that Jesus definitely did not say was follow your heart. And you know, whatever Walt Disney movies tell you, following your heart can have some pretty serious consequences. Now, it sounds like wisdom, doesn't it? It's the theme of lots of stories, lots of TV shows, lots of things you've read. But it's different from the wisdom that we find from above. In fact, not to go along with things that Jesus did say, but let's contrast with that what the Old Testament has to say about the dangers of following our heart. Jeremiah said that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? You find that in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful. The heart is trying to trick you, and it's sick. It's sick. You can't trust it. You can't trust it. Who can understand it, Jeremiah says. The heart can lead us to death. We find that from, Solomon writes that in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Solomon says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. So following your heart, that can have pretty severe repercussions, can it not? Following your heart could lead to death. And Ecclesiastes, again, is much along the same line. Solomon writes that the heart is kind of fickle. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 2, Solomon says, a wise man's heart inclines him to the right, but a fool's heart to the left. And think about your own life, right? Someday you kind of maybe want this. Someday you kind of want this, right? Our heart can change from day to day what it is that what our heart's telling us we can want. So we have to be careful as we use that as a guide. However, Jesus has plenty to say about this. Instead of following your heart, Jesus said what? He said, follow me. You know, Jesus first calls his apostles, and he calls Peter and Andrew to follow him in Matthew 4 and verse 19. Jesus says, and it said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So that's one way that Jesus got, he just called people to follow him. He didn't say follow your heart. He said, Peter and Andrew, follow me. And then there was that, you remember that person that who was a disciple apparently in the background kind of listening to Jesus, and he wanted to follow Jesus, but he said he wanted to go bury his father first. We find this guy in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 22, and Jesus said to him, he responds to this man, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. Now, if there was a good excuse to not follow Jesus for a moment, it seems like maybe to go to a funeral, that might be a pretty good excuse, but Jesus said, it's too late for them. Let those who are spiritually dead bury your dead father. You come, you follow me. And then we see again that rich man in Mark 10 and verse 21. And as he passed by, actually I skipped ahead, I'm sorry. Mark 2 and verse 14, he tells another apostle to follow him. I skipped ahead of my lines here. It says, and as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, we know him also as Matthew, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. So again, it just took Jesus to say, hey, follow me. They did so. Don't follow your heart. Follow Jesus. And again, now we get to the rich man, the rich young man in Mark 10 and verse 21. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Right, when he's talking to that guy, it sounds like he kind of has it all together as far as the Mosaic law is concerned. But Jesus knows what it was that was really holding him back. He needed to give that stuff away and go follow him. And then also, you know who follows Jesus? His flock, right? His flock follows Jesus. And we find this in John 10 and verse 27. Jesus states, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. And much like it, his servants, Jesus, servants of Jesus, John 12, 26, just a couple chapters over, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. You want to serve Jesus? Jesus says, follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So how awesome would it be to be honored by the Father because we chose to follow Jesus. We chose to follow Jesus. So that's just one nugget of worldly wisdom that I think we probably need to remove from things that we tell people about following their heart. Don't follow your heart. Follow Jesus. The second nugget of earthly wisdom, and you've probably heard this many times, is be true to yourself. You ever hear anybody say that? You just got to be true to yourself, right? And it's a good one-liner. It is. Shakespeare used it, right, about 500 years ago. Wrote, to thine own self be true is what William Shakespeare had to say about it. Although I think that it kind of has different shades of meaning. In the play, it's actually used in Hamlet. It's referring to King Polonius's advisor, who actually was a little bit duplicitous. And that it's kind of a little bit of foreshadowing for this guy. So it was kind of a play for the audience. However, being true to yourself, well, which self are you going to be true to? I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Incredibles. You remember that little guy syndrome as a child. He just idolizes Mr. Incredible, and he wants to be just like him. And he goes, you always, his name is Syndrome, or like, I think before he becomes Syndrome, he's Buddy. Before he's an evil character, he's Buddy. And Buddy says, you always tell us to be true to ourselves, but you never tell us what part of ourselves to be true to, right? You've got good, you've got evil. Which side are you going to be true to? Does that mean we're supposed to be honest with ourselves? Does it mean we should be honest with ourselves even as we lie to other people? Does it mean we should accept ourselves for who we are? Are we okay the way we are? Are we okay the way we are? I would argue we are not okay the way we are, right? We're so not okay that God had to send his one and only son to come and die for us because we're not okay the way we are, right? What did Jesus have to say about the matter? Jesus said that you need to love him. Don't be true to yourself. You be true to Christ. You love him more than anything else. And this is what he says in Matthew chapter 10, 34 through 39. He says, you love him above everything, whether it's your mother, whether it's your brother, whether it's your sister. He says, I didn't come to create peace, but a sword. And he's talking about those relationships. He's talking about relationships you have with others here on earth that your faith might come in the way between. Look with me in verse 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We are to love Jesus above all else, above any relationship that we have on this earth. You are to love Jesus even more than that. Don't be true to yourself. Be true to Jesus. Much like that, in the same way, Jesus wants us to deny ourselves, doesn't he? And he mentions it in that particular verse in Matthew chapter 10, but he also mentions this concept again in Luke 9 and verse 23. Jesus says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So we get that concept again of following him, but we also get the concept of what? Denying self. Be true to yourself. Be true to the master. Be true to Jesus. So another, that We learned that we don't need to follow our heart. We learned that being true to yourself really means we should really be true to Christ. We have to deny ourselves, right? And another nugget of wisdom that you might have seen or heard before, and this one's not all bad. It's not all bad, and certainly depending upon context, we say this a lot, and that is believe in yourself, right? And we give this advice to people, especially if it's a sports team or before they do something. You can't run through life without any self-confidence, without any self-esteem. You've got to believe in yourself. We might encourage them to have a little self-confidence, right? So it's not always a bad thing, but Jesus didn't say, believe in yourself, did he? It's not something that Jesus said. It's not always bad advice. And, you know, having a positive mental attitude is certainly something that we need to accomplish certain tasks. Some people, though, like these other things, they kind of take it to an extreme, don't they? They believe in themselves so much, they feel they have to control everything, or they believe in themselves so much, they're not going to pray about it because they think they can fix it on their own, right? But then again, what did Jesus have to say on the matter? Jesus said, don't be anxious, but believe in him, right? Not believe in yourself, believe in Jesus once more. John chapter 14 and verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me, right? Jesus didn't say, believe in yourself. He said, believe in him. Not that if you have a little bit of self-confidence, there's anything wrong with that, but realize it's not just you, is it? You're supposed to be denying self and believing in Christ. Also, Jesus said, and what's the importance of some of this? Believe in him and never die. In John chapter 11, 25 through 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He's talking to them before Lazarus is resurrected, right, at the grave. He says, believe in me, and though you die, you may live, right? So believe in Jesus as a way to eternal life. So another thing that we need to think about believing in yourself, what you need to do is believe in the words of Jesus. But there's a second component, right? Not only do you have to believe the words of Jesus, you have to do the words of Jesus. Take a second and turn over to Matthew chapter 7 about that wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, right? We loved singing that song with the kids. However, there's two components here, right? You've got the wise man, you've got the foolish man. There are two things that you can see about them. You've got one who hears and does. You've got one who hears and does not. Read with me, chapter 7, verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Go back and notice the foolish man, they heard the words of Christ. What did they do about it? They didn't, right? It didn't do them any good. It doesn't do you any good to hear the words of Christ. Hearing the words of Christ, you've got to hear the words of Christ and do the words of Christ. It's more than just believe in yourself. Believe in Jesus, listen to Jesus, and do his will. So we have so far we followed our heart, right? That was the first thing we're going to take out of our, I guess, the vernacular. Being true to yourself and believing in yourself, why not always bad? We've got to make sure that we're taking spiritual matters into heart. And then the next one I'd like to look at is live your truth. This one seems to have creeped up in the past few years. This is a cultural transformation that's kind of happened where people want to just live their truth. The thing is, truth should just be truth, right? If you're living your truth, that implies that maybe your truth is somehow different than my truth, and really, truth is truth. It kind of seems a whole lot like following your heart or being true to yourself. It kind of has that concept of embracing who you are, right? It implies that you're perfect just the way you are, right? And on the surface, that might not seem too dangerous. However, if you think about it as it applies to spiritual matters, we aren't really perfect just the way we are. We need to be constantly striving to be pleasing and acceptable to the Father, right? Jesus had to die in order to show us that way to the Father. So what does Jesus have to say about the matter? Well, Jesus first says, Jesus is the truth. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you don't live your truth, live his truth. Live the truth. The truth can also make us holy. It can sanctify us. Did you guys realize that? John chapter 17, in that prayer, that long recorded prayer that we have in the book of John chapter 17, Jesus says this while praying to God the Father. John 17:17, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. If you want the truth, Jesus said God's word is truth. You want the truth? You've got a book full of it. You've got a book full of it. You know, he gave us the truth. And then lastly, I want to say on this point about living your truth, God wants us to, of course, worship in truth. If you turn your Bibles over to John chapter 4 and verse 24, of course, we know he meets with that woman at the well, and he says, God is spirit, right? And those who worship must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? So more than living your truth, live the truth and worship in the truth as it pertains to spiritual matters by using God's word, right? We've got to read the words of Christ. We've got to do the words of Christ. So we've looked at four little nuggets. We probably are worldly wisdom. We want to take out of our vocabulary, but this one actually might be my least favorite and most damaging on a spiritual level. And the last one that I'd like to look at is do what makes you happy. Do what makes you happy. Have you heard this before? Do some people live their lives like this is literally their philosophy of life? Yeah. Sadly, some do, right? Do what makes you happy. I don't like doing that. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to do what makes me happy. Now, the problem with this is multi-tiered. However, if you only do what makes you happy, you're going to constantly be searching for things that make you happy, right? Happiness is kind of a temporary emotion. Joy is that long-term thing we should be looking for. This is one of Satan's biggest and most effective lies, isn't it? There are a lot of things in this life that might make us happy temporarily. This phrase is dangerous because the things that make us happy sometimes are good, and the things that make us happy sometimes are evil or bad, right? And ultimately, our goal as servants of God is not really to be happy. That shouldn't be our goal in life, is it? Happiness is just as fickle as following your heart. The heart is fickle. Your happiness, if your happiness is anything like mine, your happiness is probably fickle too. It kind of varies from day to day, year to year. Things that made you very happy 2 years ago bring you no happiness now, right? Things like that. I mean, it kind of ebbs and flows. It wanes, doesn't it? We know that true joy in this life and in the life to come can only be found in Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus have to say about this matter? So what if Jesus did not say, do what makes you happy, what did Jesus say? Well, turn in your Bibles over to Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. Happiness can cost you, and it can cost you big time. It can cost you your soul. Mark chapter 8, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul, right? You can have a life full of happiness, but there's nothing that's going to make you happy on this earth that's going to be worth your soul someday. You don't want it to cost you your soul. And very similar to this idea is that parable that Jesus gives of that rich fool, right? You guys are familiar with this account. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. This is a long one, but I think we probably know this one, but it emphasizes this point. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made you a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What should I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This guy thought in this parable, he thought he had it all, right? He had it. He had so much, he was going to have to build bigger places to store all the extra that he had. And he didn't know it, but he was going to lose his life that night. And then all that he had, it wasn't going to be anything, right? Abundant life can be had now. And that's the scripture reading that I had read. And I think this touches what Tim was talking about this morning in his sermon. In John chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly," right? Jesus came so that you might have life abundantly, so that I can have life abundantly, so that anyone can have life abundantly. I don't think anyone ever sat on their deathbed and thought to themselves, "If only I'd bought that extra property, if only I'd had that boat, if only I'd had that beach house." When they lay on their deathbed, they think about those relationships. "If only I could have had more time with my wife. If only I could have had time, more time with my children. If only I'd talked to that." I'm sure you reflect on those relationships, and the stuff at that point means nothing. Well, here's a tip. That stuff doesn't mean anything now, right? Those relationships are what you need now. I'll tell you a little story about a guy in West Texas. Let me get a drink first, though. During the Depression era, he had this patch of ground in West Texas. His name was Ira Yates, and it was during the Depression era, and he was a sheep farmer. So he would let his sheep graze out on the land. But this was the Depression; everyone was doing pretty bad. He was lucky to have what he had, have some sheep and a ranch that he could run. But he was barely making ends meet, and he was in danger of losing his land on a daily basis. His family was on government assistance. They needed it to eat. It wasn't going to be long before he couldn't pay the mortgage and the bank was going to come calling. So every day as he would take the sheep out to graze, these thoughts were on his mind. And one day, a seismographic crew from an oil company came to Mr. Yates and said, we'd like to drill on your land if that's okay with you. Here's a contract and lease. If you want to sign it, we're going to test it with a wildcat well, but we think you could be sitting on some oil. And he had nothing to lose, right? He's pretty close to losing his farm to begin with. He said, sure, go ahead, drill away. And they did, and about 1,000 feet down, they struck oil. And not only did they strike oil, they struck oil big, 80,000 barrels a day. And this Yates Pool is known as Yates Pool, because there's so much oil there that they, 30 years later, they were doing 120,000 barrels a day, multiple wells from this same location. You see, the point of the story is Mr. Yates was living in poverty. He was a multimillionaire. It was 1,000 feet below his very sheep-grazing land. The riches were there. Life abundant was right there at his fingertips. But he didn't know it. So there are those of you who life abundant maybe is at your fingertips right now, but you just haven't realized that yet. We are here for you. If you are here and you haven't found that abundant life, and that sounds like what you've been searching for, we are here for you. We want you to put on Christ this evening. The baptistry is ready. We will gladly let you contact the blood of Christ and wash those sins away and call upon the name of the Lord. If you are someone who once you had that joy, and you had that joyful feeling, and you were in Christ, and you fell away, you forgot what it was like. Those worldly things creeped in on you, and you really haven't had the joy that you've had because you've had sin, you've had problems, you've had anxiety. And you want to put that away. We are here for you tonight, and we'd love to take care of you this evening if you want to come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Bring Christ your broken
as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, for those who didn't have a chance to take this morning, we'll be singing a song to help prepare our minds. If you need the emblems for the Lord's Supper, Ken has them right here in the back. If you raise your hand, he'll be happy to bring those to you. But in just a moment, we'll have some thoughts to lead our minds regarding the Lord's Supper. And then as we prepare for that, we'll sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
How deep the Father's love for us.
Observe the Lord's Supper communion this evening as part of the worship service for those that were unable to participate this morning due to absence or whatever reason. If you want to go ahead and prepare your communion sets. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. I'll be reading from the King James. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to gather again in your name, to understand, dear God, and recognize what had to be done on our behalf. We're thankful for that was broken, that it was freely given, that it was perfect without blemish, that it was acceptable, and that it does provide a way for us to find acceptance in your sight. For this grace and for this opportunity, we are thankful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Continuing in Luke, verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Let's pray again. Thank you, Father, for the blood that was freely given, the blood that was shed. Without the remitting of blood, dear God, there is no remission of sins. We're thankful for what's been done on our behalf. We pray, dear God, that we would do this in a manner that's acceptable, worthy, pleasing to you. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This being a convenient time, let's give thanks for the offering. Our Father, we're thankful for the talents, the opportunities. Thankful, dear God, for the many physical blessings that you bestow upon us, providing us with the opportunity to provide even for this place. Help us to have our priorities straight as we choose our budgets and distribute our gifts, dear God. May much good come from it. For again, it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
Before we close with prayer and enter into our weeks, and before we come back, let's sing Bind Us Together, number 704, and let's stand and sing this. We sing this every Tuesday night with our college group as a reminder that we're a family, and we look forward to being together, and it's a prayer that God does bind us together and make us stronger, because we are so much better when we're one. Now, the college group, we stand in a big circle and we hold hands. I'm not going to make anybody stand in a circle, but if you are if you aren't worried about getting an illness, or you don't think you have an illness right now, I'm going to encourage you to grab the hand of somebody who's sitting next to you, standing next to you, especially if you live together in the same house. I mean, come on. You should love each other. Grab a hand as we sing this song together.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love. There is only one God. There is only one King.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do indeed pray that you would bind us together. We're so thankful for this group of Christians here. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, please bless us that we might truly love one another and bear with one another, bear each other up, and be an encouragement to one another. And Lord, please bless us as we go out into our weeks. We pray that you would help us to be on guard against the wisdom of the world, and help us to remember the truths that we've studied tonight from your word, all the things that Jesus has said, and help us, Lord, to treasure up those in our hearts, but also to share those with others. Bless each one of us here, Lord. Forgive our sins. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I wasn't given any announcements. Does anyone have any announcements? If not, we are dismissed.